We know in the Midbar, we have a tradition that when the Jews traveled in the Midbar, only Shevet Levi was gemalt. Only Shevet Levi was circumcised. And the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't get circumcised until later on by the time of Yoshua, by Mila Shenis. So the question is, like, so who is right? Like, why didn't they get circumcised? So based on the Gemara in Yevamos, I think it was an east wind, some wind. It was a type of medical reason that there was that wind that helps heal from Mila wasn't around, so they decided they weren't going to risk their lives. It's not one of the big three. You don't risk your lives in order to save yourself. And but Shevet Levi did. So last I checked, they had an Orthodox rabbi in the Midbar. His name was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses, like he was right there. You're not going to get a greater posek than Moses. So just go to Moshe and ask him, what should we do? It seems like half the people, most of the people did one thing, Shevet Levi did another. Like, why didn't they just get a psak from Moshe? Moshe would tell them what to do. You hear the kasha?
Yep.
So I think it's the Chasam Sofer's kasha, but others suggest, Rav Shechter or others always like saying over, that, see, there's a principle in halacha, but in general there's a principle in halacha to say, Ushmartam liola nafsho sechem. You have to take care of yourself. We have a biblical commitment. It's not just a good idea. It's a biblical mandate to one has to take care of themselves. What does taking care of oneself mean? You have to go to doctors. You have to exercise, eat healthy. You know, whatever being healthy means. You know, there's in the realm of norm. So we have to do it. We have to make our hishtadlus. Like, we can't ein somken al anes. We can't rely on miracles. That's how the Netziv explains. We just read the parasha of the Meraglim a couple of weeks ago. That Rashi, so what, everyone agrees the report of the spies was a bad report. But there's a more fundamental question. What about the sending of the Meraglim? Was there anything wrong with that? Or is it that if they would have gave a good report, everything would have been great? Or the actual sending of the Meraglim was the problem? So Rashi seems to learn the mere sending of the Meraglim showed a lack of faith. God tells you, you're going to go into Israel. That's it. You don't ask any questions. Just go ahead and do it. So Rashi seems to learn there was a chisaron in Amuna. And the Ramban says, Rashi, how do you know that? What are you talking about? Even if you have a divine promise, but God expects you to work with the Derech HaTeva. Before you attack a nation or go into a country, you send out surveillance, you send out, check out the military, the economic, the social, whatever spies do when they check out a country before they move in. So of course they're allowed to do it. In fact, how do I know that? Ramban says, because none other than Moshe Rabbeinu, later on, he sent out spies by the Aver HaYarden. He himself sent out spies. And who else besides Moshe would know best? Yehoshua, who was involved in the original mission, who gave a good report. When went into Jericho, he sent out spies. So, Rashi, how do you know they did something wrong when clearly Moshe and Yehoshua didn't know they did anything wrong? If they did something wrong, why would they resend spies and there was no punishment then? So it seems to be a fundamental machlokas Rashi and the Ramban, whether the actual sending of the spies was a mistake or not. Rashi, yes, they were lacking faith in God. The Ramban, no, they were following the general laws of Teva. So the Netziv wants to make shalom between the Ramban and Rashi. And it reminds me of an old joke they always say is, there was some shalom bias issues. That part's not a joke, but there were shalom bias issues. So they went to the Rav, they went to the therapist, whoever you go to. And so the wife gave her piece. So the Rav said, oh, you're right. And then the husband speaks and he says, you're right. And then the wife says, how could we both be right? He said, you're right also. So the Nitziv wants to say everyone's right here. How could they both be right? They're saying two different things. So the Nitziv has this yisod in general. He says it throughout. He says there's the ideal and there's the reality. The ideal is really, you're right, really, Klal Yisrael should have been on the level after God, they're living in the Midbar with the man, with the water from Miriam, the clouds of glory. They're living a miraculous occurrence, Kriyas Yamsuf, everything. So if God tells you this to go into Israel, you shouldn't feel you need spies. You shouldn't feel you're on the level of everyone else, like a normal society, and you have to make your normal hishtadlus. So ideally, the Nitziv says Rashi was right, that they should have been on the level where they shouldn't have needed spies. However, Nitziv says, human beings are very complex, and the fact I should be on that level doesn't mean I am on that level. And the bottom line, if I'm not on that level, I'm obligated to live on the level I'm on, not on the level I should be on. And the effort's true. Maybe I should have been on the level that I just go right into Israel and not worry. But what can I do? I am worried. So if I'm worried, I'm obligated to make the normal precautions. I got to send in spies. I got to send in the military. So it's a fine line between, you know, where does his status end? At what point do I say I don't rely on a miracle? And at what point do I say I have to do? There's a line somewhere. The issue is always, where do I draw the line? And at what point? And that's an example. This example he gives even with the great Shmuel Hanavi, the prophet Samuel. That when God told him, you know what, you're going to anoint David as the king. So Shmuel says, but how am I, when I go to David by Beis Lechem, Shaul's going to find out. If Shaul finds out, he's going to kill me. Because he's the king now. And he sees I'm giving his kingship to someone else. So God gives him a plan. Don't worry. Do X, Y, and Z. Bring a carbon. No one will know what you're doing. And you'll be able to get there. And then you can do it without Shaul finding out. That's just the story in Navi, right?
Right.
So the question is, so what would have happened if Shmuel didn't ask God what to do? Like, what do you mean? Like, I'd say he just would have went. So the answer is that basically that, obviously, really, Shmuel should have been on the level, like, if God tells you to anoint David, like, why are you asking me questions? Like, just go and I'll take care of the, I'll make sure it's a successful journey. I'll take care of, but clearly Shmuel, even though he was worried about it. So if I'm worried about it, then I'm a chuyev to make the shtadlus. And that's what he also says by appointing a king. There was really, Shmuel was rebuking the people. Why do you want a king for? Like, you can have high taxes, X, Y, whatever a king does. It's not going to be so great. Like, why do you want to be kechol hagoyim, etc.? And even in the Torah, there's a discussion whether Machok is in the Gemara, whether it's up, you're mandatory to appoint a king, or if you want one, then this is the way you do it. So the Nitziv has a similar Yisod. He says, really, the Jews should have been on the level not to ask for a king. If God would have told you, if I think a king's good for you, I would tell you, don't come to me, I'll let you know, you're on a need-to-know basis. But if you feel that you think you need a king, then okay. So then you have a mitzvah. So that's what the Nitziv right here. Really, the ideal is right. Rashi, they should have been on the level to ask for a king. But since they weren't, they have a mitzvah to the both right. It all depends on where you're holding. Or the example I always like giving is, the ideal is you should, from the moment you start brachas to the end of hayom, you should have kavana. Like, who argues? Have kavana for every second during davening. But let's say some people only have like a 5-minute attention span, a 20-minute. So if I start getting into it at brachas, the time I get to the quote-unquote more important part, the Shema, the Shemone Esri, I'll be burnt out. So you have to pace yourself. So There's an issue. There's an ideal level of amuna, and then there's a you have to live on the level. You have to make the hishtadla. So the question is, the Jews in the midbar. So what's this? So we know we have a principle. Shomer pisayim Hashem. Hashem protects the fools. That's the famous tshuva Rav Moshe has. That he can't tell people about his back. You know, whatever in the 50s, 60s, whenever he wrote it, that before, you know, let's say they knew all the dangers of smoking, that I can't, since there are so many people smoking, I can't tell them to stop smoking. Even though smoking is dangerous, but I can't tell them, if it's a normal risk society takes, I can't say it's usher. That's the normal way of people live. People crossing the street could be dangerous, but you gotta get into your car. Assuming you do, or you gotta function and live in a normal society. So basically, I can't tell people not to do things if that's, you know, assuming that's the norm. So Shomer Pesarim Hashem is you're allowed to take a normal risk, like, you know. So then one could debate: is bungee jumping a normal risk? Is skiing a normal risk? So it's not, so obviously most, I'm saying, what my point being is, the postkim who would say you can't ski are assuming that you don't have to ski. It's not a normal part of life. For some people, skiing might be, and therefore they'll say it's okay. I'm just saying it depends how you view it. Like if you view it as a normal, but everyone agrees, there's a certain level of risk where you can't take, like. This is absolute danger. It's usher for you. There's a level where it's absolute danger you can't do. And then there's a level where, no, of course, everything's going to be a risk in life, but you have to take a risk reward. Okay, I got to function in life. I got to cross the street. I got to go shopping. I need food. That's the No Dibi Yehuda's tshuva by hunting, that he was asked, are you allowed to be a hunter? So he talks hashkaf how it's not really a Yiddish profession. Your mothers want you to become doctors or whatever, but therefore he doesn't say that. But he says, really, it's not a profession. It's not a general. Esav, we see in the Torah, Esav was a hunter. Nimrod wasn't the best people. But if you're asking me, if you need to make so hunting for recreation, he says he tells you not to do. He's against. But if you're telling me you need to make a parnassa, so what could you do? So there is a higher element of risk in hunting, either from the animals or from the other hunters, be it as it may. But you are elevating your risk. So, but for parnassa, you're allowed to take a higher level risk. But why? Because by definition, if you don't make a parnassa, you're going to be a higher risk of dying. You got to put food on the table. And you got to support your family. That's what happened during COVID, let's say. Again, so I'm not saying COVID now. So I'm just going to make certain assumptions because people might argue on the assumptions. I'm just telling you the principles and we could apply the appropriate application to whatever situation we think we were. If you still think we're in it now, if we were in it, now we know more about it, etc. But let's assume, at a certain point, it was dangerous to go. It was dangerous to go to Minyan. Let's assume, and again, let's assume the government closed. Again, so there's two different issues: whether the government closing it down. So then there's if they're closing it down because they think it's a health safety issue or it's anti-Semitism or whatever. Let's assume. I don't think it was anti-Semitism. They closed down everything. They closed down a lot of. We could argue whether marijuana stores and beer. We could argue what's essential, not essential, and maybe we could disagree with their sense they used and how defining it. But I think it's safe to say they didn't. I don't think it was it was geared against Jewish. It was based on whatever reasons they came to their conclusions. Maybe some was political, not, but that's not my nakuda here. My point is, maybe the First Amendment right in the U.S. doesn't let you to close down shuls, but I'm just saying the question is, should the Jewish people close down the shuls on their own? That's what I'm talking. I'm not even talking about, you know, what the government rule. Let's assume the government left it open, but Judaism says no. We take a higher standard. We say we're closed. It's too dangerous to get together. We say don't. We close down the shuls. So let's assume that was a correct. Let's assume that was objectively dangerous, and therefore we said not to go. So therefore, you shouldn't be davening. You know, again, you could always argue on the medical other things, but I'm just making that assumption. So therefore, let's assume at a certain point shuls should have been closed, and they were, right? And let's say regular times is not an issue. The question is, at what point now do you go back? When do you take away, when do you take away the mass, social distancing? When do you call people up for, you know, so then on the details, you'll have questions about, you have to weigh going back to normal life and the value of that versus, you know, the danger. So at certain points, let's say it's clear and it's clear danger, and therefore it's not a personal choice. Halacha says you can't do X, Y, and Z. It's dangerous, and that's it. You can't walk into a COVID center without a mask, you know, without the proper PPE. Everyone agrees to that. You know, whatever our common ground will be, that's what we're discussing. There's the clear danger you can't do. And then, on the other hand, there's clear that it's not danger at all. So let's say there's a middle ground where, you know, whether we're in it now or not, that or whenever the case may be, that let's say there's always going to be an element of danger. Let's say I'm double vaxxed, I'm single vaxxed. There's always going to be an element of danger when you go to a public function or you're with other people. Maybe they aren't vaxxed, maybe they are, maybe that, we don't know exactly, even if we know they're not. I mean, anyone, it's still possible to get it. But then the question is, at what point do I want to live a normal life again? I'm always could be. So there's a point in halacha, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem protects the fools, meaning if it's a societal risk that, you know, now people say that's the normal risk of society, so it's okay to do. So the Mefarshim, so getting back to the Midbar, so how could it be that Shevet Levi, were they on a higher level of Muna? Is that why they got the Mila, but the other Jews did the wrong thing, they didn't do the Mila? So the answer is no. They're both right. We like when everyone's right. Is the bottom line is, Shevet Levi wasn't worried about it. In other words, they weighed the situation. It was only a low level risk not having this medicinal factor of the wind. And they weren't worried about it. So we see in halacha there's a concept where, again, you have to be in the, you can't apply the rule. You can't say, I'm not worried about jumping off a 1,000-foot cliff and dying. That's suicide. We're talking about, you know, things that are within our very low risk. And some people worry about it, some don't. So if you're worried about doing it, don't come. In other words, so today, let's say I'm worried about going to shul. So if you're worried about, then don't come. Like, you know, whatever your reason, you're high. If you're, you know, maybe at a certain point in life, if let's say COVID's over 20 years ago and you're still worried about COVID, so maybe you should see a therapist. But I'm just saying is now we're still in the realm of normal. I'm someone's nervous about going, then I think they have every right not to go. And they shouldn't go. And people are not nervous with the proper precaution should. So they're both right. In other words, the point being is, there's a level where, Shomer Pesayim Hashem, where you're nervous about it, don't go. But if you're not nervous, you can go. As opposed to, it doesn't make a difference if you're nervous or not. It's usher, you know. And it could be, you know, and it could be that if you're nervous about something no one else is, maybe you have to work out a personal issue. So I'd say, so let's assume we're in that middle stage where everyone's right. If you're nervous, then put on a mask. If you, you know, again, assuming within the, you're walking outside and you're in a public area, you don't, again, I'm not saying, again, I'm not getting into the shiloh of violating Dina Machusa Dina, where the law, obviously Fortino has a right to say wear a mask and then don't shop in Fortino's then. And then obviously if someone says, well, if Fortino has a mask, I'm not shopping there. So Fortino will have to make a business decision down the line deciding which way they want to go. At this point, I don't think they have a choice. But I'm saying, assuming it comes down to like a business, like in the States, maybe you have a choice. So I have some people say, if they're going to make me wear, I'm finished with masks. If they make me wear a mask, I'm not shopping there. And they're 100% entitled to that. And others say, if they don't mandate masks, I'm not coming in the store. Or I'm not going to the movies unless they're mandating double. So you do what you want. Everyone has the right to make their own personal decisions within the realm of normal. It wasn't a question to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, well, you tell me if you're worried about it. In fact, it reminds me of another Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, it's the same concept, but we'll apply it to Shabbos emergencies. They say a Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim, I guess, was visiting a town in Europe, and someone came to him and said, you know what? I hear the pogroms are coming soon, or whatever. It's going to be bad for the Jews. I got to start saving. I'm very poor. I got to start saving up money because on the turn of the dime, I have to be ready to bribe the officials, take the, whatever I needed money for. So he asked the Chafetz Chaim, like, can I work on Shabbos? So the Chafetz Chaim asked him, are you really worried? Like, do you really think, like, your life's in danger? He said, yeah, I do. I'm very worried. He said, if you're worried, then you can't. It's Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh, and you're allowed to work on Shabbos. Do whatever you have to. And then about 10 minutes later, someone else came in with the identical question. So the Chafetz Chaim, do you really believe? No, I don't really believe it, but everyone's saying it. If I could get a chance to work on Shabbos with a heter from the Chafetz Chaim, why wouldn't I take it? He said, no, you can't work on Shabbos. You're not nervous about it. So when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, that's the element also. Obviously, if there's objective Pikuach Nefesh, so everyone, someone got hit by a car, there's blood, there's no like, oh, well, I'm not nervous. I don't give you nervous. Get to the hospital. But in a case where there's a level where, there's a level where you're nervous, and that was the story, and the Chazon Ish was asked another question. I think later on when the Nazis, when people were living, I don't think it wasn't 48, it wasn't the state of Israel, but the Jews living in, and I think the Nazis were discussing taking over. So basically the question was like this: back in the day, before they had these radars, so the only way they could find you is if there were light. If there was dark, they hadn't, that's why you saw the old movies where someone lit a fire and they went crazy on the boat because now the enemies had some idea where you were. But basically the way it was is you weren't allowed any light because that's how you stayed hidden. Today with radars, it wouldn't make a difference. So the shaila was that, I guess, the Nazis were doing bombs, and let's say it was 100 miles away, I don't know, or whatever it was. It wasn't close, but you could hear it. So the question was, do you have to keep the lights off or not? So I think it happened. I think it was this could be true all the time, but I think it was a Shabbos shaila. Like, if some people are nervous about they need the lights off on Shabbos and others don't, so obviously you can't have half the people with the lights on and half off. It's not going to. So after the Chafetz Chaim, so the Chazon Ish quoted he says, if people are worried, then obviously if some people are worried, everyone's got to shut the lights. It's not going to help in this case. If it's a personal issue, and to the point being is, what I'm getting at, there is a personal level of your own personal nervousness about something does play a role, like in halacha. So Shevi and Levi weren't nervous, great. They had the bris. Others were nervous, don't have the bris. They're both right. I'm not nervous, I come to shul, you're nervous, you don't. Again, assuming those assumptions, so there's no, it's not an objective right or wrong. And that's what happened with Lot's daughters. They did the wrong thing in the sense that they were wrong with the wrong results, but they were right if they thought the world was coming to an end. So, La'olam b'chesed yibane, they had to keep the world going. Even though it was incest, they got their father drunk, and it was a terrible way of doing things, but in their mind, they thought it was pikuach nefesh, and so it was kodam on Torah, etc. So a lot of it has to do with, you know, so a lot of it has to do with the in-between and how you feel. So ultimately, you know, obviously, I've been thinking about it. Let's say I'm double vax, fortunately. So then the question is, how much am I going to be concerned? Again, so working in Sholem Village, I have to take on higher level concerns because I'm coming back here. So let's assume, I'm not talking about me now. So I'm just saying someone who doesn't have to worry, let's say, about other people per se. They're not going to visit elderly parents, you know, whatever the case may be. And that you have to take in. But let's assume, and that's, I think, a discussion going on in society today. Let's say, I'm just saying, and it could be where you're holding. Let's say here, Alan Dershowitz, say, like, he's 83, so maybe it's a different child than if you're 23. He says, I'm not going back to the movie theaters unless they make a rule everyone has to be double dosed. Like, I'm not taking on, I don't want you risking my life. On the other hand, people say, like, what do you mean? If you're double dosed, why do you have to worry anymore? Like, what do you mean? But no, double dosed isn't, like, totally safe. You know, so, I hear both sides. I'm not picking on Alan. I'm just using those as examples. On one hand, I'm double dosed now, so what more do you want me to do? In other words, do I say now for the rest of my life or for the next year I should wear a mask and social distance also because there's a little chance that I still could catch it, even though it's a high level, it's not going to go to the hospital? Or do I say, I shouldn't be taking that higher level risk? So again, I don't think there's a right or wrong here. I think it comes down to you as long as it's within your realm, you speak to your local medical professional, your local doctors. Ultimately, I think there's going to be a level. Obviously, it depends if you're 95 and you have many conditions, and if you're 25, I think that plays a role into what you're going to do or not. You know, keeping in mind, you know, protecting others as well. But ultimately, I'm saying, let's say you have two people, they're both the same exact age, the same exact medical condition. And then I think it's reasonable. Someone could say, well, I'm not nervous, I'm coming back to shul. And others say, well, no, I'm still nervous. Or I'm going to start going to Fortina's now, I'm not. Or, you know, any example you want to give, that, you know, that's in the, you know, there's the range of normal and not normal. So same thing, you know, so same thing with COVID, same thing with Chil Shabbos, and in Halacha we have this in-between category where it does depend on you as opposed to being an objective prohibition of being too dangerous or not dangerous. Right, that's right. It's interesting, Moshe, with the Mirai, because according to that explanation, it's more that he didn't do the Milo Bizman. Let's say waiting was okay, but he should have done it, like, whatever, you know, whether 10 minutes earlier. That's why we're very big on Mila Bizmana, doing Mila at the appropriate time. And that's why, in fact, I think I actually had a Shaila during, like, the heart of COVID. Like, were people actually concerned about doing a Mila? You know, at that point, like, you know, and it was interesting, and in the case I was asked, the Moel was nervous, not the clients. But I'm just saying, you know, or could it be either way, but I'm saying, I think at a certain, obviously, based on you do everything you can, if, like, I think most people, the accepted norm was that together with the PPE and everything that, you know, it's probably okay to do, but there was a school of thought that said, okay, if everyone's too nervous and this and that, you know, then maybe there is room to push it, even by meal, which is, as we said, it's a very, you know, very important mitzvah, mavato asekar, but that'd be like a, you know, that'd be a similar shaila. You know, what, did we reach that point at Mila during COVID like it was in in the midbar, the question was how dangerous it was. The question was, you know, obviously some people felt there was never a danger, and I see most people probably never stopped doing it, but there were some, you know, but there is some discussion of the people were nervous about it, should they go ahead, you know, etc. Yeah, but it's interesting, you know, by Moshe with the Mila with his kids, and Mila by the midbar, that seems to be one of the major discussion points in terms of where you draw the line.
Right.
And, you know, and obviously it fits in with Mila, because Mila obviously is something which is a potentially dangerous procedure. If it, but obviously we command you to do it, so clearly we don't, on one hand we say it's a healthy thing, but it does involve risk, and you have to take, you only can do the Mila at the, you know, as always, it's taking the right medicine at the right time. Doing Mila when the kid's dangerous could be murder, and doing Mila at the right time is one of the most important mitzvahs we have. So, you know, so in terms of that.